is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello. All right, we're in it together. Good morning. That's really the bottom line.
It's a team effort.
It's a team effort. We're all in this together.
That the speech Steve Nash gave his guys after game four.
Right? Hey, guys.
Kyrie and James, whatever.
Can you imagine trying to make your guy? You know, we don't really, listen, we like them when they're here, but we don't need them. We can win without them.
It's easy.
We have Kevin Durant.
And you put the ball in the basket more than them, victory. It's that simple, guys.
It's that simple. It's not complicated.
The old Jackie Moon. Guys, we're fine. We just need to start hitting our threes.
It's not like, it's not like the Bucks are any good, right?
Nope.
Yeah, good morning. You know, it's our job to make people feel better about things.
Well, then we get a failing grade for the last, I don't know,
hey,
48 months.
Already got a thumbs down.
All right.
Right away. Thank you, hate listener, who's probably blocked from the text line. Life is awesome. Exactly how your parents wanted you to turn out, and we welcome you in. Good morning.
6:03. Let's just take some shots, right?
Nah, why not?
And I'm not talking to kill you.
Why not? Why not? I'm all for that. I'm all for it. Let's be honest. It's Monday. I'm sorry.
Honest or Giannis?
Giannis.
Because I'd rather be honest.
And what's the other thing? God, it's going to be hot as...
Ed over here mentioning G7, but no mention of E3.
Oh, the video game thing?
Yeah, see? The letters and the number thing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's...
All right.
What happened there?
Doug Christie got angry, I guess.
You know Doug and that temper.
Rudy...
ask Rick Fox all about it.
Rudy on the YouTube chat is crowing that I jinxed Nate Diaz. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot on that today.
Yeah.
A lot on Dave the Jinx. I'm glad it's moved from me to you.
Yeah, I jinxed the underdog.
You jinxed Nate. I jinxed the Nuggets in game three, clearly.
Boof.
Boy, there's always a lot of takes you want to have back. I'd like to have that one back. The Nuggets will get game three. Come on.
You were strong with that.
I thought after Michael Malone basically came out and ethered his team, they would respond. Spoiler, he thought wrong.
You know, the thing is, though, I get what he's saying. I don't think the Nuggets did anything wrong.
No, it's just the Suns did a lot of stuff right.
Yeah, they're just not good enough.
Not without Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray's there. That's a completely different series.
And you need bubble Jamal.
Is this going to start being the narrative is, well, if the Suns, you know, given how far the Suns go, let's say.
Yeah.
Well, they played the Lakers, who were without AD and a hobbled LeBron. Oh, they beat the Nuggets without Jamal Murray. Is it going to be like Phoenix is only winning because these teams they're playing are missing stars?
Well, let's see.
I don't think it should be the narrative, but I can already see that one starting to bubble.
The Jazz and Clippers are relatively healthy.
Donovan Mitchell's ankle, we'll see.
Yeah.
That. If he is hobbled and he can't go, that changes again. That just completely changes the complexion of a series.
Because
he's really good, spoiler. Really good.
Yeah. That's another fun picture that's been, this is.
Oh, I don't know who put that one out.
Yeah, thank you. That's now become like a fun little King's Underground thing that's becoming more overground.
I had fun. I'm like, just let me put this picture of Donovan Mitchell in a King's practice jersey from his draft workout. Oh, boy, did mentions start to blow up.
Yeah, what are the Kawhi's always been a great one. Damian, you know what? Here, let me give you a great tweet you should do today.
Oh, I have all of them saved in the phone.
Do the starting five.
I have a Kawhi.
Do a starting five.
I have Steph. I have Clay.
Yes.
Dame, obviously, so Donovan Mitchell.
So Steph, Clay, Dame, Donovan Mitchell, Kawhi Leonard. Post all, you can't go into one of those programs where you can make like a one photo with the five of them in it. It's called like Pick Stitch or something.
Pick Stitch?
Yeah, yeah.
Stitch Pick?
Yeah, it's easy.
And it's funny. You mentioned five really good guys there. I feel like there's others that
I'm sure there are. But all five of those in Kings practice jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some triggeration.
Someone replied to me with one, and I had never seen it before, but it was Kobe in a Celtics draft workout in all Celtics gear. That was jarring.
Yeah, I remember seeing that one, too. That's...
I was like, oh, my God. That's not a thing.
It was a great UFC card. Interesting sports weekend. I watched...
A lot to get to.
Very little baseball. I mean, I'm aware of it, but there was just... I actually...
Give the Giants credit. To split a four-game series when you combine to put up trace runs.
Three runs in four games and you got two wins.
I mean...
You got to find a way to win it, right?
Yeah.
I actually watched NASCAR yesterday. I got no explanation.
Okay.
I watched it.
How was it? All right.
It was confusing.
Wait. That might be the... I need to isolate that and bring that back. How was it?
What
was confusing? They just turned left.
No. it was the All-Star race.
Oh.
And...
Didn't Kyle Larson win?
Yeah. He's won three in a row now. I don't know what to do with that. Like, he's from Elk Grove and he's winning, but...
He's from Elk Grove. Everything makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Sorry, Elk Grove.
I haven't been really talking about it. I just don't know what to do.
You know, we don't take enough shots at Elk Grove on this show.
Well, what's wrong with Elk Grove?
What's right with Elk Grove?
I don't know.
Exactly. Just kind of there.
Well, why would we pick Elk Grove?
Because we make fun of the 530 and the 209s all the time when they send stuff in. Like, why don't we pick on Elk Grove ever?
Home of Sam Amick.
Oh, well, there you go. You just solved why we'd ever pick on Elk Grove. Sam Amick lives there.
So here's the thing. So, like, they start out. We got 2 minutes. It's perfect. So they start out, and it's like, I'm going to get the laps wrong, but it's like, okay, so everyone starts out, and it's like 10 laps.
Mm-hmm.
You go around, and then after 10 laps, then the fans vote on a color.
Okay.
and then whatever the sideline report is like, all right, well, I'm here with the Dallas Cowboys, because it was in Texas. I'm here with the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and they're all standing next to a podium that has a different color, and the fans voted blue, so let's open up the envelope. And then it's like, what is that, the deal or no deal?
Yeah, so the briefcase.
So they open up the briefcase, right, and it says 12.
Okay.
That means that the people that finished the top 12 in that stage, they start stage two inverted. So 12th place is first place, and first place is 12th place, right?
Mm.
So they have four of these stages, okay, where they run 10 or 15 laps, then the fans pick the color, then the Cowboy cheerleader opens up the briefcase, and it says 8. Same thing, top 8, okay? And it's scored like golf, right, where your average place after all the stages, the lower you are, meaning the higher the finish, going into 5, and that's how they seed them. So round 5 is the – I know, dude. That's why I went
– I'm more of a visual learner. Right. No offense, your gesticulation is
not
helping.
I know. I'm sorry. So round 5, the final round comes up, right? Oh, I forgot to tell you. In round 4, okay, every – it's like 10 laps. Every race car has to take what they call a timed pit stop.
Uh-huh.
Meaning they have to, every pit stop, they have to do all these things. New tires, gas, wipe the grill, all that. And they time them. And whoever has the quickest pit stop that accomplishes all the goals, the pit crew wins $100,000.
Okay.
Then round 5 hits, okay, the final round. You're trying to have the lowest finish, okay? It's Kyle Larson and some guy named William Byron. Total NASCAR name, right?
Billy Byron?
Yeah. So they race, and then Kyle wins, and it's, I think it's winner take all, $1 million. And that's the race. That's the whole race. So I was in, and Sammy Hagar opened by singing I Can't Drive 55, except he can't hit any of the notes anymore, so he does a thing like when it goes, I can't drive 55. He doesn't do that. He goes, I can't drive, and then does the crowd. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of sad. People Sammy. Get old. Anyway, dude, there were flags and Sammy Hagar and Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and it was just the American breeding. I watched it. All right. I was semi-entertained.
NASCAR.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we'll lead it off with real sports. The Suns. Oh, my goodness gracious.
You're going to be getting a tweet soon.
What? I watched the whole thing. It's a bunch of guys driving. Bucks, Nets. It's not a sport when I do it on the way to work every day, is all I'm saying. And the A's are hot. The Giants, hey, listen, like Jay said, 3-4, and yay. 2 wins? Okay. We'll start it all off, man.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal. In the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
Craig gets the ball out to Chris Paul. 2 seconds, 1 second. Suns win. And the Suns defeat Denver in 4 straight games. Oh, brother. The Suns 125, Denver 118.
I'm officially rooting for the Suns.
Yeah? Okay.
Beyond any other team.
Like far beyond?
The romantic in me, taking myself out of Kingsland, thinks a Clippers Nets finals would be cool because probably the two most trashed on franchises of all time in the NBA, certainly in the conversation. I still remember the Sports Illustrated article in the 90s or early 2000s. I think it was the 90s. And it said the Clippers are just the worst franchise in sports.
At that time, they were.
Right.
They were bad.
And I think about all the Clipper fans. Well, there aren't many of them left. But guys like Billy Crystal and Arsenio Hall.
There aren't many of them left, implying that there were some to begin with.
Well, I mean, Billy Crystal and Arsenio Hall were always like, you know what? You guys can have your Lakers. We're going to be courtside for the Clippers. And I remember them in the 90s being there.
All I ever took from Billy Crystal and Arsenio Hall being courtside at Clippers games was, you both of you guys are cheap asses.
Yeah, they could get the tickets.
And the kid from Malcolm in the Middle, he was a Clippers fan.
But my wife asked me this last night, and I got to look at it. I'm trying to find it. I cannot remember an example, certainly in the modern NBA, of anything like the Suns.
The turnaround?
You didn't make the playoffs last year, and then you could win the title this year?
Yeah, I mean, you're already in the conference finals.
That just doesn't happen in the NBA. It doesn't happen. I'm trying to remember, but I don't remember anything that close to happening.
Speaking of basketball, did you see we got a new Tyrese Halliburton jersey?
I did not.
I didn't notice that until just now. Interesting.
What did it replace?
The
red one. Was it a red fox?
No, the red one was up there.
That's now a purple Holmes.
Okay, so the red fox got taken down. The purple Holmes got moved over there.
Thank God. By the way, during the break, remind me to tell you the jersey rumor I've heard. Not a jersey rumor.
Is it going to make me happy or sad? You know I'm very sensitive to jerseys.
I truly don't know. I truly don't know. Anyways, Suns sweep the Nuggets. Lot to talk about in this game, including the MVP getting tossed.
Yeah.
There's a clever MVP thing there. It's too early.
We'll come up with it eventually.
Number two.
Leading off. Cut number two.
Lawawu Cabarrot will take a three at the buzzer, and it's in and out. It's in the bank. It's earning interest. Our final today in game 4. Bucks 107. Brooklyn Nets 96. This series is now a best of 3 as we're tied 2-2.
Funny thing. When you lose, James Harden and Kyrie Irving, you're more susceptible to being beat.
Are you?
This is
what's the calculus there?
I'm fairly confident in this. I think I'm comfortable saying that if both Harden and Irving were healthy, I think this would have been a sweep.
At least a gentleman's sweep. I mean, the Bucks may have
maybe 5
eat that one.
I think it would have been. But listen, injuries happen. It does make you wonder though. And I'm not ready to go all Skip Bayless on this, but there is a hot take out there pointing at Harden and Irving and talking about load management. You know, like they've been load managed all year.
Yeah.
And they're both hurt in the playoffs. Now, the response to that is, hey, stupid. Kyrie Irving turned his ankle sideways. No amount of managing is going to help or hurt that. But, you know, the whole James Harden hamstring thing, that's generally an accumulation-type injury.
Sure.
If Irving and Harden cannot return for this series. Nets aren't going to win it, I don't think. I don't see that. And I know
they're not.
Take.
That's not hot at all. If they are sans both of those guys,
yeah.
Kevin Durant's not beating Giannis and company. Like, I get it. The Nets are really good. Kevin Durant is a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
The Bucks are still a really good basketball team. And if you're missing two of your three best players, you're not beating them. They're too good. They showed it the last two games. They can beat you. And they will beat you.
Steve Nash on James Harden talking about his status. He says Harden has to string together multiple high-intensity loads on consecutive days before he'll be cleared to play.
Hence why you see me here every morning. I get that taken care of pretty quickly, those high-intensity loads, and I show you. I'm ready to go.
Appreciate that. I appreciate you showing me.
Yeah.
Number three.
Leading apropos. Off, cut number three.
Here's the stretch, and Trevino throws, and Santana takes on the inside corner. Ring him up, strike three called, and the ball game is over. And the A's, in their 67th game, notch their 40th win. 13 games over 500 for the first time this year. And Bob Melvin becomes the 35th manager in Major League history to reach 1,300 wins.
How about Bob Melvin? Have a year, kid.
I mean, they're pretty good. That Matt Olson guy.
Matt Olson's one thing, but it was nice to see Matt Chapman's bat awaken finally this series.
It's like he's figured something out, you know?
You would hope so.
By the way,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you want to buy the way before I buy the way, or do you want to buy the way before
I buy the way?
No, you
go ahead. You buy the way
first. The A's are now a plus 21 run differential. That's what happens when the Royals come to town. Mm-hmm. The Astros are plus 86. Two games behind,
yeah.
Even though they've outscored the A's by 65 runs this year.
You know what's strange? Well, there's a lot of things that are strange. Anyway, I'm starting to look at Oakland's attendance a little more now.
Are you?
It's starting to anger me. But the problem is there's the coronavirus restrictions. Like, Texas is number one in attendance right now.
Shocking.
And the Giants are like 23rd, averaging 8,600 fans. Like, there's coronavirus going on. Oakland's averaging 5,500 fans a game.
Okay, I don't want to be a you-know-what, but at some point, can we look at that compared to the 2019 average attendance? I just want to see how different it is.
You mean 2020?
No, wasn't anybody there last year. 2019.
I gotcha. Well, it was 20,500.
Okay, so a significant difference with COVID, 75%.
Yeah, they were in 24th place out of 30 teams. I don't know. It's not fair to look at attendance necessarily.
Let's just be honest. Attendance ain't going to be what keeps the team in Oakland.
No. And yes, I'm very aware that Candlestick had low attendance, and then they got a new part. I'm very aware of that. Very aware of that.
Well, I mean, the Kings' attendance shot up after G1C opened, too.
Yeah, but the Kings' attendance shot up after the Maloofs left, too.
Yeah, but their attendance has been really good, from a league standpoint, since moving into Golden 1 Center.
Sure.
It helps.
I'm just trying to remember the last year.
Imagine if the team was good.
When was the last year that Oakland wasn't in the bottom five?
Of attendance?
Yeah. Oh, I can tell you right now, 2014. They were...
Bottom six?
They were number six.
Yeah.
They were 24th. And it's just weird because I get everything, but it's like ultimately, it's easy access there. It's cheap tickets comparatively.
It's not even particularly
right.
Close.
And they, for the most part, have a contending team almost every year, at least in the last 6, 7, 8 years.
And they've done a really good job of making that ballpark experience, despite it being at the Coliseum and all the issues surrounding it, an actually really good experience. I haven't been to the Coliseum in a few years now, but the last time I was there, I actually enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I wonder why attendance is so.
Number one, the COVID restrictions, they can only put in X amount.
That I totally get. But that doesn't explain every other year. And let's not.
But no, we know why the attendance is low every other year. I think a lot of that core fan base is fed up with ownership, and it's kind of the carousel of players.
I get it. I understand that. I do, and there's reasons for them to be fed up with ownership, no doubt about it. I wish I could be as fed up with ownership as a Kings fan, watching my team in first place and making the playoffs almost every year. Because isn't that ultimately the bottom line?
But what if it was, okay, we're going to be in first place making the playoffs every year for like 3 years, and then they just decided to dismantle the team and be garbage for 3 years?
And then we're in first place 2 years later?
But you can never get past the semifinals in the Western Conference because ownership is so awful that they trade off all the good players for nothing.
Give me that alternate reality. Give it to me right now.
You say that now, over, I think, a 10-year span, you would be over it.
15 years of not making the playoffs and selling out almost
I get it.
I mean, come on, dude.
I get it.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we'll get into the news with Ed Crane, his second report today. We got a U.S. Open update for you. U.S. Open this week. We'll have updates for you each and every day. And the big tournament this weekend. I'm looking forward to that. And we'll talk a little baseball, a little UFC as well. We'll do all that right after this.
The highest rated morning show on KHTK. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
You can watch the show on YouTube if you wish. Avoid the chat.
It's fine this morning. It's tame. Here's the thing. Chris isn't in yet.
Yeah, no, he is.
He is?
What's up, everybody? Coming live from the locker room of the Y. Just got done swimming at 6:15 in the morning. No, he didn't.
You don't believe he's at the Y?
No, I don't.
Taking a dip?
Nope. No, first off, who goes to the Y?
Chris.
That doesn't even...
If someone went to the Y, wouldn't it be him?
Doesn't it
screams 1982, I have off for the summer, my mom needs me to somewhere.
Does the YMCA even exist in the sense where people like, oh yeah, I played some ball down at the Y? That's like 70s.
That's what I mean. It's early.
Nobody goes to the Y anymore.
That's where Daniel LaRusso did his first karate in Newark, New Jersey. It was down at the Y.
Thank you. It's not happening. Secondly, he's not up this early swimming. He's in bed right now, watching on his tablet or something. He's not at the Y.
You don't think he's at the Y?
No, I don't. And don't give me some old picture, Chris, of you swimming from
All I'm saying is he might have been inspired by watching this show and looking at you, gun show. He came in today with that T-shirt on. I was like, oh boy.
This was a baggy T-shirt.
Was ago. Yeah. Now it's a muscle shirt. Look at you. Yeah, that one's going to take a while, friend.
Belly.
I know from experience.
Listen, let's get to a U.S. Open update. I want to remind you of U.S. Open coverage presented by Frank Cockrell at Retirement Security Centers. Hey, birdie that financial future yours at Frank on the Radio at rscenters.com and by Naturewood Home Furnishings, where, it's all about choices and always about quality. That's important. Some people like to think they know who shot the most under par at a U.S. Open, but it's usually forgotten. Now, this is a double whammy factoid for you. It's usually forgotten that the record for the U.S. Open, most under par, was shot by Alex Smith.
I did not know he quarterbacked and golfed.
Yeah, also, this was done in 1906, so older than you thought.
Wow. Hey, Alex Smith looks good.
He does. Alex Smith shot a 33 under par in 1906. Of course, the asterisk there is that the course that year played to a par of 82 instead of 70, 71, or 72. Which is usually what the open courses are in this era. But
well,
still, hey.
I mean, hey, if let's say it was 72, he still would have shot 22 under, which is still pretty good.
I guess.
Decent. All right. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What do Arizona State, Georgia, and Texas all have in common? U.S. Open related.
All believe that it's their body, their choice, and don't tell them what shot to take?
You're a little off.
Oh, okay, sorry. You said Arizona, Georgia.
Arizona State.
Oh.
Speaking colleges, buddy, not.
And this is U.S. Open related?
U.S. Open related.
They've hosted the most. Mm-mm. No, they all have winners of the U.S. Open.
Yeah, and kind of in the right realm, but not really.
I don't know.
They are combining to have 20 golfers in this year's U.S. Open either went to Georgia, Texas, or Arizona State.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Jordan Spieth is the headliner from Texas. Phil Mickelson, obviously maybe the greatest person ever out of ASU. And a two-time Masters champ, Bubba Watson, Georgia Bulldog.
Is that right?
That's right, buddy.
Is that right? Where is Florida State University's Brooks Koepka? He's in the field.
Yeah, no one said anything about Florida State.
Well, I just did.
So you already jinxed their softball team. Now you want to jinx Brooks and the damn tournament hasn't even started?
Speaking of jinxing, Nathan Diaz.
For more U.S. Open updates, those will be at the bottom of every hour.
Yes.
All week. Yes. And we'll give you factoids, leaderboard update. We're going to give you leaderboard updates before the damn tournament even starts.
We'll get you another one at 7:30. That's hey, we are your U.S. Open factoid home, by the way. Good water cooler talk, too.
Chris just sent me a picture of him at the Y. Hold on. Go ahead and get to you jinxing Nate Diaz.
I knew he'd do that, but it's not from this one. Hey, have him send you a picture. At the Y. Have him send you a picture of him at the Y holding up three fingers, pointing downwards. I almost want to say have him hold like a USA Today with the date on it, but no, nobody buys papers anymore. Have him send you a picture pointing three fingers down.
Yeah, Chris, this picture isn't going to suffice.
Thank you. Exactly. I knew that
he sent me his morning swim like Fitbit update, too.
Right. I knew that's what he'd do.
Anyways, Nate Diaz, you jinxed him. Why?
UFC 263. Leon Edwards and Nathan Diaz. This was, with the it's unfortunate, with the exception of the main event, this was a very, very, very fun card. It included a guy. It included a guy who dislocated his right arm at the elbow.
Ow.
And continued to try to punch the guy with it. You ever see one of those wacky foam inflatable funny fun guys?
Called Matt George.
Yeah, yeah. That's what his arm looked like as he was flopping it onto this guy's face. It was the biggest example I've maybe ever seen of adrenaline taking over for pain. So that was a neat way to kind of usher
him. He's at the Y.
Is he?
Yeah. It's legit.
He probably just drove down there. After we started talking.
Anyways.
Leon Edwards.
Good fighter, by the way.
Not lost in those last 9 fights. He was a 5-1 favorite. So let's not, get all, crazy about how big of an upset this was. Nathan Diaz just does not ever disappoint. Win or lose. He's one of those guys that you put him in there 98% of the time, 99% of the time, you're going to walk away going, I got my money's worth. Nate got outclassed for 4.25 rounds, and then he hit Edwards with a 1-2 that put him on silly street. He got the stanky leg and everything, and we were very close to one of the most electric, literally would have been a top 5 most electric finish, possibly higher, in this sport's history, to have a guy that was getting swept on every card pretty much, to come out and grab it. It's the movie type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people, including myself, wondered why Nate, after he two-pieced him, Nate did the whole thing where he raised his hands and then pointed at him, and guys like me are screaming, "Get in there!" And then he got in there.
Finish him.
And then he held it, and then he got him up against the cage for a while. It was a good 20, 30 seconds. Listen, I'm never one to question a fighter like Nate Diaz who's been there and done that, and it's just Nate's style. But I would love to know what would have happened if Nate had done that and immediately had gone in and done nothing but fire bombs. Didn't happen. Nate said after the fight, and he's correct. He said if this is a street fight, that's a wrap in the real world, but that's not the way it is. Israel Adesanya was the main event, rematching with Marvin Vittori. That was a horrible way to end it was just an utter...
Especially coming off of the Diaz fight the excitement.
Well, and the Figueroa fight, too, and we'll get to in a second. But it was just a complete mismatch. Vittori had absolutely nothing. at any point, and then after the fight apparently thought he won, even though he got swept on all five cards. It was not, it was just a bad, bad, bad fight. Damian Maia, that fight was boring as hell, as is every fight Damian Maia is in, and I enjoy grappling, but Damian Maia is just, I respect him. I really, truly respect him. I say this with all respect. He's a boring fighter. He's just, I have no interest in watching.
Well, boring's not necessarily a bad thing, though. It's all about winning.
But
from a fan perspective,
yeah,
I understand.
From a watching perspective, Damian Maia is just, and there's plenty of people who are ground-based that are extremely exciting. Damian Maia is not exciting. He's almost, the Anderson Silva-Damian Maia fight, in parts because of Silva, but Damian Maia just, he's just the fart in church of the UFC. And it's no, again, that sounds disrespectful. It's not. He's very good at what he does. He's just not a fun watch. Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueiredo was unbelievably awesome to watch. Moreno becomes the first Mexican-born champion in the history of the UFC. He was ugly crying at the end of the fight in happiness. It was a good moment. And now Dana White is sitting pretty, dude, because he's got Davison Figueiredo and Moreno 3 sitting there. He's got McGregor-Poirier 3 coming up here in July. And then when everything's all said and done, he's got Diaz-McGregor 3. He's got 3 trilogy fights sitting in his back pocket. One's already scheduled. The other's about to be, I think, with Figueiredo-Moreno. Maybe Figueiredo gets one more. But there's some money on the horizon for the UFC, which is good because they don't ever make it.
No, they've been really bad about that whole money-making venture thing.
Most fun card they've had in a while, though. I very much enjoyed the fights. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right. The Nuggets are gone. The Bucks and Nets, there's that. And we'll get into that with all the injuries and everything. And we've still got a doubleheader going on tonight. There's other series that are very important. We'll get into the NBA playoffs next.
Got something to say? Text the show at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Oh, Joker's so mad right now at Pat Freyer that he didn't. And now Booker and Joker start getting into it in the corner. We're going into the front row of the stands.
Peyton, and meanwhile, is hurt. And if he's super hurt, you may see Joker get ejected, although he made a play at the ball.
Joker was mad that he didn't get a foul called on his drive.
For the second consecutive drive, he got bumped.
And Cameron Payne gets the rebound. Jokic tried to spike the ball out of his hands. And since then, Cameron Payne has been on the floor, and Devin Booker went at Nikola Jokic.
After replay review, Booker, there is
and CP3,
wind-up, impact, and follow-through. It is a flagrant penalty 2 on Jokic. He's ejected from the game. There is also a technical foul on Booker for the actions during the dead ball.
Fortunately, our mic is not working.
Yo, here's Michael Malone.
I don't know. I think it was something along the lines of wind-up, malicious intent, some other mumbo-jumbo. But obviously, you lose the MVP. It's going to make it even harder to try to stave off elimination.
This is a great question from a journalist. I don't know who it was.
Do you think LeBron gets ejected in the same situation?
I'm not going to touch the second one. I'll let you write on that.
That's very smart of Michael Malone, saving some money. Nicole Jokic.
What do you think he wanted?
I wanted to change the rhythm of the game. I wanted to give us some energy, maybe to change the whistle a little bit. So I tried to make a hard foul. Did I hit him? Didn't hit him? We don't know. So I say sorry if I did, because I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't want to injure him or hit him in the head on purpose. So I watched the game in the locker room to cool off a little bit.
Last thing, Devin Booker on the fracas.
I think, it was just an emotional play. I don't think he meant harm by it after, but it was just a frustration foul. But it was tough just defending my teammate. That was it. But I seen him go up to Cam after and apologize. And, I've played against the Joker multiple times. I know, he's not a malicious player.
Yeah, it was interesting. And I'd like some lip readers to pop up on Twitter. If somebody wants to start a Twitter account and get a lot of followers, there's got to be somebody who is a professional lip reader that can do sports lip readings. not the fake kind that are funny, but actual. I would love to see what Jokic was saying. There's a close-up. You get a full read of his mouth, and he did not break eye contact with Booker the whole time. I just want to know what he was saying, because, listen, Nikola Jokic, and much of this was made over the last few days when he was winning the MVP. They call him the Joker for a reason, not just his last name. He's a very lighthearted, mm-hmm. fun dude. Obviously, something snapped in him. Here's where I stand on the ejection. It was a garbage ejection of an MVP down 3-0 in a game that's still grabbable at home. However, those are all extenuating circumstances that ultimately shouldn't matter. And the way the rule is written, you have to eject him. It sucks.
I get it. I didn't buy the malicious intent part.
There was no malicious intent.
And
I
that
don't
to
believe
me doesn't mean he should be ejected.
There was a windup, a clear windup. He came down on that. First off, anyone who has followed, for example, Marvin Bagley knows how dangerous those plays can be when you go full windup and come down. Forget him even
for sure.
touching the face. If he comes down on that ball and there's no ball and he hits the guy's hand, you can break that hand or wrist. You can't do that. That can't be, I understand that. I don't think at all, one-tenth of 1,000th of 1% of me, there's no way I believe he meant in any way, shape, or form to hit Payne in the face. That full on,
right.
full stop. And it wasn't malicious. I totally agree. I think he was pissed that he wasn't getting these calls. And I think he was trying to make a play and at the same time show his frustration. And he went, 98-mile-an-hour fastball windup. The problem is when you do that, there's so many things. It's like swinging a golf club in a crowd. You don't mean to hit anybody, but you're mm-hmm. swinging a golf club in a crowd. There's going to be collateral damage. And in this case, you're talking about possibly injuring somebody. And I'm sorry, I know the NBA, I can't be two-faced on this. I know the NBA doesn't do this. I get it. But I can't I believe everybody should be officiated the same way.
Yes.
I believe that LeBron James crying and whining about a foul call should get the same tactical foul that Tyrese Halliburton or, Chimezie Metu should get. I'm just saying, I don't like that. I don't like the whole thing. I understand why they do it. But one thing the refs have always done that really bothers me is guy goes up for a shot. There's a questionable foul on the play. And the refs wait to see if the basket makes or misses before they call the foul. And
right.
if it misses, they blow the whistle. I know what they're doing. And I understand what they're doing. They're thinking, I don't want to call this foul. If he makes the basket, I'll let it go. But if he misses, I got to call the foul. That's not how it should be.
No, it's a foul.
It's a foul, it's a foul.
It's a travel.
Right. Regardless of who it's on. If it's a carry, it's a carry. It doesn't matter who it is.
Like, I think my favorite thing is a guy on a fast break taking four steps, no travel call, but then someone moves a pivot foot like an eighth of an inch walking.
Right,
like,
right.
What?
Right.
How is it one and not the other?
I would like to see the refs. I don't like it when refs and umpires are put in a position where they make a call people don't like. But then when you look at the letter of the law, it's like they're doing their jobs.
Yeah, if you make the correct call, it's the egregious calls that I think, especially
right.
in the NBA. I mean, to me, this has been a problem in the NBA for 30-plus years. I think the NFL right now is the worst officiated of all three major sports. But I feel like the NBA like nips at its heels daily. There's always just calls that leave you scratching your head. And I think the part that like blows my mind is we have replay now.
Yes.
You don't have to do that. You can justify missing a call now. They give you, you get an out, and yet you see though last night, like clearly it was very obvious. He did not have malicious intent to hit him in the face.
He
they
didn't.
Still ejected him.
You don't think he should have been ejected?
No. I give him flagrant one. That's fine.
I thought they were going to call flagrant one.
Flagrant one, I would have been like, that's cool.
I truly thought they were going to call flagrant one.
The windup, to your point, and coming down to me, justified a flagrant one. I didn't feel it justified a flagrant
But
two.
I also wonder if Draymond Green had done that and hit LeBron James like that.
Oh, Draymond Green would have been ejected
right.
and suspended.
Yes, he would have.
To your point, it's just different stars and different players get different treatment. That
right.
is the NBA.
And that's
it's okay
it
to point
be.
That out.
It's not how it should be. I understand that also reputation can be involved too.
It shouldn't be though.
I
get, but I'm right. with you.
And if DeMarcus Cousins had done what Nikola Jokic did, DeMarcus Cousins would currently be in Turkey signing with the Turkish team.
Yes, he would have been
from the NBA for a full year. So that, this also doesn't matter, and I'm not saying this in a way to justify it one way or the other. The series was over. Maybe it goes a fifth game. Maybe it goes a fifth game. The Denver just didn't have it. They just did not have it without Jamal Murray. They didn't have it, and I'd like to see what that team looks like healthy next year. That's a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have it. The Suns did, and what do you know? Chris Paul, the Suns are the first team to punch their ticket to the conference finals. The Phoenix effing Suns.
The ones who hadn't made the playoffs for 10 years.
Are the first. Can you imagine? And that's why I'm rooting for them, because I'm going to say this 50 times. Can you imagine this town?
Yeah, I could. If the Kings were in the conference
finals. I don't know that I can.
Flip. Oh, I can. I remember what this city was like when the Kings were actually good.
This would be better.
Yeah, probably.
This would be better.
I agree.
Good for them, man. We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All righty. Paul George and Joe Ingles. That's a fun thing to watch. That's a fun little subset to this series. And Paul George talked about that, sort of. Pat Riley, little lighter in the wallet. Here's why. And Matt LaFleur, NFL coaches, unnecessary press conferences. Today's edition, Matt LaFleur of the Packers. We'll do that next.